This meeting will come to order.
Everybody could please stand for a moment of silence. Thank you. Please face the flag and join me in our Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Here.
Here.
Ms. Bell?
Here.
Mr. Hollins?
Here.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Here.
Mr. Kovac?
Present.
Mr. Powers? Mr. Retta?
Here.
Mr. Sheldon?
Here.
Mr. Smiley?
Here.
Mr. Screech?
Here.
Mr. Tackett?
Here.
Mr. Weiner?
Here.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 12 present, 1 absent.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Moving on to the approval of the minutes. Are there any corrections or amendments to the minutes of the meeting of July 12, 2011?
Motion to approve as distributed.
Second. Hearing none and a motion to approve been made and seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The minutes are approved. Moving on to item C on the agenda, announcements from members of council. Any members of council wishing to make announcements? Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President. I just want to clarify, you and the pro tem are aware of my situation, so just for those in attendance, if I happen to get up and leave this evening, it's no disrespect for anyone that may be speaking or anything at that time. Since I am prone to do things like that, I figured I'd clarify on the record first.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley, and best of luck in your personal situation. Any other announcements from members of council? I have an announcement to make. I'd like to welcome our class from Wilmington University, POL 300 in our American Politics class. Everybody wave so you can... All right. Welcome to the legislative session of today's council. They were treated, and I'll thank Councilman Hollins. It's probably the reason that he's not sitting right now is because he took the time in between our council meeting and our meeting tonight to lecture to the class on civil rights. I want to say on the record, I greatly appreciate his opportunity and willingness to give his perspective on that important issue to our class. Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was just going to ask for a show of hands in support of the students here tonight, which council members may have also graduated from Wilmington University.
Oh. All right. Councilman Smiley?
I didn't graduate there, but I represent it.
Oh, very good. Well, with all the wonderful Wilmington University branches opening up across the county, I'm sure we represent, a lot of us represent a lot of those fine schools. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
And can I say that my husband also teaches there?
Oh. And so filled in for me when during our last council meeting. Councilwoman Diller? A comment or microphone issue? Microphone issue? Okay. Another teacher at Wilmington University, absolutely. All right, moving on. Any other announcements, members of council? Seeing none, moving on to item D, introduction of ordinances. Madam Clerk, please proceed with the introduction of ordinances.
Ordinance 11083 to amend the pay plan and rates of pay for non-union classified service employees and adopt the class specification for sewer system analysts.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. This ordinance shall be considered at the August 23rd council meeting if it has gone through the required Board of Commission recommendation process. Moving on, item E, reports from selected special committees. Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President. Finance Committee met upstairs today, convened at approximately 1:35, reviewed a couple items on this evening's agenda, and had an executive session to review pending litigation.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Councilman Sheldon.
Yes, for special services met last Tuesday. We talked about the Middletown Wastewater Treatment Center, the quality of the wastewater treatment that's being done down there, and the pricing, which is comparable, $4.36 a gallon, compared to what we do it for ourselves at $4.32 a gallon, to make sure that the public knows that we are getting a quality job down in Middletown.
Thank you, Councilman Sheldon. Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. President. Tuesday, July 19th, the Land Use Committee met. We heard an ordinance for Councilwoman Kilpatrick, another ordinance for Councilman Retta, and we heard a discussion on the redevelopment ordinance by Councilman Retta and myself being heard tonight.
Thank you, Councilman Tackett. Today we had our executive committee meeting, which was moved up to an hour earlier, and we needed every minute of that hour to discuss various sorts of topics, including our proposed pension plan, which is going before the pension board, other various ordinances, and a rule change discussion. Any other reports from special committees? Seeing none, move on to item F. Item F is our consent calendar, which is used to pass matters in a group that have been determined to be non-controversial by the sponsors, communicated to the president or clerk. However, an item will be removed from the consent calendar upon a simple request from a council member or the public if discussion is desired. I urge the public to speak up if there is a particular item of concern. Are there any items on the consent calendar which any council member would like removed? Seeing none, is there anyone from the public who wishes an item to be removed from the consent calendar? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved. So moved.
Second.
There's been a motion and a second to approve the consent calendar. All in favor?
Aye.
Madam Clerk, please proceed with the reading of the consent calendar.
Resolution 11101, Canaan Baptist Church, Second Annual Celebration Day of Recovery. Resolution 11102, thanking the members of the 2011 Newcastle County Council Redistricting Commission for their service to Newcastle County.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Please call the roll on the consent calendar.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers? Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll card reveals 12 yes, 1 absent.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. The consent calendar has been passed. Moving on to item G, presentations. Councilman Sheldon.
Thank you, sir. I have two proclamations here. I know one person is here, so I want to make sure they get recognized. I'll say the other name also. But Sheree, and I hope I say this right, Sheree Desmuth, and also Sweeta Kupul. I don't know if they're here, but please can you stand up and stand beside me, and we'll get our pictures taken, and the family can come up if they so desire. They asked for it. The reason for this proclamation I want to let everybody know is Sheree placed first in the 2011 numbers bee in the state of Delaware. More than 170 rich students participated in the 9th annual numbers bee. It was held at AI DuPont. School participants from grades 3rd through 8th completed for all trophies. Winners of each grade solved the most computerized based math problems the quickest and most accurate to win this. The numbers bee was created by a husband and wife team, Mr. and Mrs. Beal, to improve the children's fluency with numbers, operations such as addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. Several state and federal agencies were there at the present to encourage the participants and emphasize once again what this country is about, mathematics and technology and education. Sheree, I like to say, took top spot for the 5th grade, and he did it by representing the Linden Hill Elementary School from Pike Creek Valley. So council and myself would like to really extend their sincere congratulations and hope to keep up with your great school work. We really appreciate, we need people to get into math, and as you know, it makes a great career. So with that.
Thank you, Councilman Sheldon, and congratulations. Moving on to items removed from the consent calendar and other resolutions. We have Resolution 11-103, Councilman Smiley.
Yes, Mr. President, I would request that Resolution R11-103 be read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration.
Second.
Resolution 11-103, approving the refund of taxes paid in error.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley.
As stated, these are taxes that were paid in error. This is a property in Middletown, and through the reappropriation of the property and the sale and this and that, the bank slash real estate company ended up duplicating payment of taxes, and unfortunately, we have to give it back.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Does any member of council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, open the floor to questions and comments. Any member of the public wishing to speak on the subject of this resolution, please come forward. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-103.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cardia?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers? Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call goes 12 yes, 1 absent.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-103 is approved. Resolution 11-104. Councilman Cartier.
Yes, Mr. President, I'd like Resolution 11-104 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration.
Second.
Resolution 11-104, consenting to the appointment of Ken Murkowski to the Newcastle County Claymont Design Review Advisory Committee.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Cartier.
Just a brief overview. We have in certain parts of Newcastle County and areas that are village-like qualities, hometown overlays. It's a special zoning overlay, and we have design review advisory committees that work with the development proposals that issue from the hometown overlay districts, and Claymont has a hometown overlay district, and I'm glad to bring forward Mr. Rutkowski's nomination to the Claymont Design Review Advisory Committee. He's been interviewed by council. Mr. Rutkowski attends the meetings quite regularly of the Claymont DRAC. He's quite familiar with all the issues. He's a business owner on the Philadelphia Pike. He owns the Amoco franchise, and I'm quite pleased to have him come forward to council for a vote tonight for confirmation on the Claymont DRAC. I think he'll bring a good perspective, being a very dedicated small business owner in Claymont.
Thank you, Councilman Cartier. While I was up in Claymont this Saturday, I received several unsolicited recommendations about this gentleman, business owner in Claymont, Mr. Rutkowski, and happy to join you in support of his appointment to the Claymont DRAC. Any other member of council questions, comments on this resolution? Seeing none, open the floor to the public for comment. Any member of the public wishing to comment on the subject of this resolution, please step forward. Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-104.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers? Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 12 yes, 1 absent.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-104 is approved. Moving on to Resolution 11-105. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
I move that Resolution 11-105 be read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 11-105, consenting to the appointment of Richard Saunders to the Newcastle County Hoofessen Design Review Advisory Committee.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Mr. Saunders is going to be, if approved tonight, will be on the Hoofessen DRAC. He's gone through the process and I believe a well-qualified candidate.
Thank you, Councilwoman Kilpatrick. Any member of council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on this issue, please step forward. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-105.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers? Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 12 yes, 1 absent.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-105 is approved. Moving on, Resolution 11-106. Councilwoman Diller.
Yes, I ask that Resolution 11-106 be read by title only and placed before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 11-106, consenting to the appointment of John Davis to the Newcastle County Historic Review Board.
Yes. Mr. Davis was nominated by my office 2 years ago. He's a structural engineer with the firm of Keyston Hood, and he has great experience, and I think he will just bring a wealth of knowledge to the Historic Review Board.
Thank you, Councilwoman Miller. Any member of council wishing to make questions or comments on this resolution? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on the subject matter of this resolution, please step forward at this time. Seeing no public comment, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-106.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers? Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call is 12 yes, one absent.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-106 is approved. Moving on, Resolution 11-107, Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I move that Resolution 11-107 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 11-107, consenting to the appointment of Carolyn Kuntz as chair to the Newcastle County Library Advisory Subcommittee to Community Services Board.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Again, Ms. Kuntz has gone through the process and will be a great asset, has all of the qualifications that we're looking for in that position.
Any member of council have any questions, comments on this resolution? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak forward, subject matter of this resolution, please step forward at this time. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-107.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers? Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call is 12 yes, one absent.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-107 is approved. Moving on, Resolution 11-108. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Resolution 11-108 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution, Resolution 11-108, consenting to the appointment of Ruth Vivardis to the Newcastle County Planning Board.
Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ruth Vivardis actually appeared before the executive committee this afternoon for her interview. She resides in Emerald Ridge Drive in Bear, Delaware. Ruth will bring a lot of good attributes to the planning board. She's a demonstrated achiever with knowledge of the environment, safety, and occupational health issues. She has a very strong business background with experience in employee and business health and safety concerns. She has a Bachelor of Science degree in chemistry. She's currently the manager of the Maryland Avenue Sub Shop. She is an environmental chemist and worked for the DuPont Company in DuPont Analytical Methods. Ruth has extensive experience in serving others in the community already. She is a former president and current vice president of the Route 7 and 40 Alliance and is president of the Emerald Ridge Service Corporation, a former member of the Community Action Panel for the Valero Refinery, the former Valero Refinery, and she's a member of the Joint Committee of Wilmapco and DelDOT for Route 40 Corridor.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Any members of council? Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm pleased to see this appointment finally coming forward. This appointment was actually started under the previous administration but got sidetracked when the results of the primary took place. So I'm glad to see it, that a very worthwhile individual has finally worked its way through the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Any other questions, comments, members of council? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. We have one member of the public. If anybody else wishes to make comment, please step forward at this time. Any member of the public wishing to comment will have 3 minutes. You'll have a fun timer that will give you a yellow 30-second warning. If you have any personal attacks, otherwise derogatory statements, please keep them to yourself.
We'll discuss it later, Tom.
All right, thank you.
Excuse me. Bill Dunn, Vice President,
Middletown Lions Civic Alliance and Newcastle County Civic League. I have met Ruth on any number of occasions, both at 740 Alliance meetings, as well as other larger venues and bodies, and had numerous discussions on different issues. I know she's very concerned about some of the things that have transpired down in the 740 area, and I hold her personally in the highest regard. The issue I have with her being appointed at this point in time is that the person that she is replacing is a member that has been on the planning board for over 10 years now, I believe, is willing to continue to serve, but has been very vocal about some of the issues that have had an impact on positions that have been held by the county executive and other people involved in the land development process. I am very disturbed by that. Clearly, the voice of the person she is replacing is a voice of the community. And as you all know, there are a limited amount of money provided to these people that participate on the planning board, board of adjustments, and these organizations, and they do it because they care about their community. He has a wealth of knowledge of the UDC from the days that it was first conceived, clear up to how it exists today. He's seen revision after revision. He has a depth of knowledge that it'll take years for Ruth to learn and get the same level of knowledge to be able to adequately replace Mr. Weinberg. I am disappointed as to how this process is carrying out. It would be one thing if he wished to resign and leave the board and we needed to replace him. It's another if it seems like some level of restitution. Again, I think highly of Ruth, and I hope that she does a very good job in the position if you guys choose to give her the position. But I am disappointed as to how this all played out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dunn, for your comments. Any other member of the public wishing to make a comment, please step forward at this time. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk.
Mr. President.
Oh, I'm sorry, Councilman Bell. I'm sorry if
That's quite all right. I would be remiss if I didn't at least make a comment on this appointment. I understand what was said, and I certainly applaud and send my appreciations for anyone who volunteers their time on a commissioner board with the county, and my understanding that the gentleman had done a great job while he was on there. But as a district council person, I learned that an opening was there on the planning board, and knowing Ms. Vizvardis, I thought that she would be an absolutely excellent member of the planning board, and I understand that it will take her some time to grasp some of the institutional knowledge and whatnot, but, has nothing to do with somebody being replaced or the decision to replace somebody. My nomination of Ms. Vardis is the fact that she is qualified and will do an excellent job. And I just want to make that clear for the record that she resides within District 12, and she will do a fine job on the planning board.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Any other members of council wishing to make comment or questions on this subject matter, this resolution? Seeing none, and I've already closed the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on resolution 11-108.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers? Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 12 yes, one absent.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-108 is approved. Moving on, Resolution 11-093, which is currently tabled. Councilman Weiner.
Yes, I ask that Resolution 11-093 be lifted from the table and placed before County Council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 11093, consenting to the appointment of Kay Bose to the Newcastle County Library Advisory Subcommittee to Community Services Board.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Weiner.
Yes, as per title, we interviewed her, we confirmed that, and now it's back on the council agenda for approval.
Thank you, Councilman. Do any other member of council have any questions or comments on this resolution? Seeing none, open the floor to public for comment. Any member of the public wishing to make comment, please step forward this time. Seeing no public comment, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-093.
Mr. Ball?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers? Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Honor?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll card reveals 12 yes, 1 absent.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-093 is approved. Moving on to item I on the agenda, ordinances. Ordinance 11-079. Madam Clerk, I'd ask that you read this ordinance by title only for its consideration and adoption by council.
Second.
Ordinance 11-079, amend the pay plan and rates of pay for classified service employees represented by the Delaware Public Employees Council 81, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Local 1607 AFL-CIO.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. This ordinance codifies and it puts into place the collective bargaining agreement as agreed to by the Local 1607. We will be having a need to amend this ordinance, and if I could call Mr. Denver forward at this time. Let me see. How about calling anybody from the legal staff forward at this time to briefly explain why we'll be amending and what the amendments will be? And thank you, Mr. Wilson. Thank you, Mr. Wilson, for coming forward. I wanted to have some to quickly speed through why we're going to be amending or moving to amend this. Currently, as written, the title refers only to union employees. And after a careful review of this ordinance, we wanted to make sure that the body and the title matched up. As Section 1 and 2 refer to non-union members, we wanted to make sure that these sections were removed so that the title and the body of the ordinance are consistent. Anything else from the administration's perspective on this ordinance?
Yes, as you said, Section 1 will be stricken, Section 2 will be stricken, Section 3 would be renumbered to be Section 1, and the ordinance would become retroactive also. There's an amendment with regard to that, and I believe there's a script.
And we will be amending this. I wanted to make sure that everybody knew why we were amending this, and that we have Mr. Wilson or somebody from the administration here to talk about the legal need. And if I understand correctly, we will be bringing another ordinance that covers the stricken parts of the ordinance as well. Is that correct,
Mr. That's Wilson? Correct. The title does not include this particular being a classified or unclassified, so we had to strike that section, and we're going ahead with the classified employee pay plan, and then we'll later introduce another ordinance to actually strike the unclassified position. So for a brief period of time, there'd be two duplicate positions, but that's necessitated by the rules.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Wilson. Anybody, any member of council have questions for Mr. Wilson? Okay, seeing none, I will go ahead and make move that we bring floor amendment number 1 to ordinance 11-079. In this amendment, I am moving that in the ordinance that is currently before us, we strike sections 1 and 2 in their entirety. We renumber sections 3 and 4 as sections 1 and 2 respectively, and add a new section 3 reading as follows. Section 3, the provisions of this ordinance shall become retroactive to July 1st, 2011. Does any member of council have questions on this motion? Seeing none, do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor of amending ordinance number 11-079, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Ordinance 11-079 has been amended by floor amendment number 1, which is now before us. Any member of council have any questions on ordinance 11-079 as amendment by floor amendment number 1? Seeing none, open the floor to the public for ordinance 11-079 as amendment by floor amendment number 1. Any member of the public wishing to speak on this ordinance, please come forward at this time. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on ordinance 11-079 as amended by floor amendment number 1.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers? Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 12 yes, 1 absent.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance 11-079, as amended by floor amendment number 1, is approved. Moving on to ordinance 11-080. Madam Clerk, could you please read ordinance 11-080 by title only and to be placed before council for its consideration and adoption?
Second. Ordinance 11-080, amend the pay plan and rates of pay for classified service employees represented by the Delaware Public Employees Council 81. The American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Local 3109, AFL-CIO.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. The second part of the ordinance, which ratifies and approves the pay plan associated with Employees Local 3109. Any member of council have any questions or comments? Seeing none, any member of the public having any questions or comments on the subject matter of this ordinance? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll on, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on ordinance 11-080.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers? Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Shelton?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yeah.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 12 yes, 1 absent.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance 11-080 is approved. Moving on, ordinance 11-081, Councilman Street, or Councilman Bell? Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move that ordinance number 11-081 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second. Ordinance 11081, amend the annual operating budget appropriate state of Delaware funding to the Department of Public Safety for the annual FOP pension contribution.
Thank you very much, Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. As discussed in finance this afternoon, this ordinance will appropriate $1,921,803 of revenue from the state of Delaware to the Department of Public Safety. The county receives pension contributions from the state of Delaware for Newcastle County Police to the employees' retirement system. And just a brief explanation. The county receives two distributions of tax proceeds from the state for county police. One distribution is based on the actual police post-retirement adjustments, referred to as COLAs, and the other is based on the average number of paid full-time sworn police officers employed for the year.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. And as we discussed in committee, but placing for the record tonight, this amount is consistent with the expected contribution as averaged over the past 3 years?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And this is all state money, not any county money being put into this county,
that is program.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments, members of council? Seeing none, any questions, comments, members of the public? Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on ordinance 11-081.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers? Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 12 yes, one absent.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance 11-081 is approved. Moving on, Ordinance 11-082. Madam Clerk, I move that Ordinance 11-082 be placed before Council, read by title only, and placed before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 11082 to amend compensation for employees of County Council by imposing a health care surcharge.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. This ordinance is brought forth with the idea to impose on the members of the county council staff similar sacrifices that have been placed on members of all county employment, giving some amount of compensation into a what is called an employee health care surcharge. The way that the ordinance is currently proposed, county council employees that currently contribute to the health care system will pay an extra 2.5% of their salary in as a surcharge into that system to help offset and limit county expenses. Councilman Smiley.
Yes, I'd just like to take a moment to thank the employees of Newcastle County Council, the staff, for their day in and day out contributions to make sure that the residents of Newcastle County receive the service that they want and deserve. It's never easy to take from your pocket, especially many of our staff are young with growing families. So I just want to acknowledge, I think all of the council appreciates when the county employees, as well as ourselves, we come together to help balance the budget and share the sacrifice with those that we represent.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. And following up on that, there has been a lively discussion on how to fairly apportion this amount to county council employees when they are in the situation where they are not represented by a collective bargaining agreement, do not have anybody to necessarily bargain on their behalf outside of members of council themselves. And in the menu of services offered in collective bargaining agreements, certain other cost-saving measures, certain other cost-reduction measures were employed, and there was some concern identified that the members of county council staff were being asked to contribute on a greater individual share than some other members of collective bargaining units. It should be noted that all members of collective bargaining units and the county council staff are being sought to contribute a 2.5% of their salary, either in the form of a health care surcharge or in a reduction in overtime benefits or the like. If any member of council wishes to make further comment on this issue, we'll certainly entertain dialogue and debate at this time. Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't want to be silent now. There's been a lot of discussion in the last couple of executive committee meetings regarding this issue, and I think for one thing, what I realize is that, as I said before, it was not concrete code 2.5% surcharge on all of Newcastle County employees. My only concern was that it'd be fair, equitable distribution of how we were going to do this, whether it be directly from salary or giving up some other benefit. And there seemed to have been a menu for some of the bargaining agents that was not part of the decision to make 2.5% surcharge on the county council staff. And I think I've said enough about this, other than I don't think that the proposal that came forward to the council from the staff has had an adequate amount of time for discussion. We did do quite a bit of discussion this afternoon. Secondly, there's a concern that if we were to do anything differently, there will be retroactivity, and obviously that's also a concern. But even if we were to do something different and do it this evening, even though the retroactivity, if we were to do it tonight, would be similar to all of the other county employees, if we were to wait until we came back after vacation, obviously it would be differently. But even then, as it was explained this afternoon, it would not necessarily be a penalty or hardship, because you can pay that retroactivity over a period of time, and it could be less than 1%. But in terms of catching up with the retroactivity part of it. But I think it's some consideration should be given to the fact that the proposal that came forward from the staff, as well as the proposal that came forth from the administration, both which were circulated today, the one that was circulated by the staff seemed to have had more traction, and that was to make the surcharge 2% and perhaps have some other give back from the staff. And what we received this afternoon was a give back of a couple of holidays. And after thinking about this further, it doesn't necessarily have to be a couple of holidays. It could be a floating day because there was some concern about which day it could be. But I think those are things that we could, in fact, work out. I think the burning issue here is, should it be 2.5% salary, or should it be 2% and some other combination of a give back that would make county council staff, in my opinion, equal to the bargain agencies. As you mentioned, the staff does not have representation at that level where there's discussions and closed-door sessions. I feel that some of our staff people did not want to contribute in discussions this afternoon, and a door that's open to the universe. And in talking to some of them, they have said as much. It's not easy to talk about your compensation in a room where everyone's listening and everyone can be critical. But to be fair, I think it certainly deserves concern or consideration from council what was passed. And it wasn't a whole lot of conversation in the meeting, but it was enough, I feel. And I would think that the 2% is one thing we could do with a simple amendment. And after that, we could work out the details of whether it's going to be a day, a floating day, or other kinds of measures that would make up for the 2.5% to achieve the $27,900 that's expected to come from this branch of government.
Thank you, Councilman Hollins. Councilman Smiley?
I would just comment that unlike the collective bargaining agreements, you know, we can pass this over our break. People can work on things. We can always come back and change it for our staff. So, you know, we could make adjustments. I know some people don't like to go back after the fact, but I just put that out there.
Now, in light of the collective desire on behalf of council to do things right and to do things fair, I would be open to any motion that any council member be interested in making, a friendly motion either to table or to amend the amount of the percentage of the health insurance surcharge. Councilman Cartier?
Mr. President, I want to sound a little cautionary note here. I don't think the discussion went all over the staff. I know that my aide had some concerns. I don't know that this proposal has been fully vetted by everybody on the staff. I know we were given some sort of poll in the discussion, and I'm confused as to whether, you know, the majority of folks didn't support it or did. You know, I'm just concerned that, you know, an alternative proposal needs to really be, you know, fully vetted before we can really call it such. And I'm concerned that we really haven't had that. It's very unfortunate. And I'm just letting you know how I feel.
Thank you, Councilman Cartier. I think that probably represents the sentiments of most of us. I'm not sure a lot of us feel that we have had a large chance to examine alternatives, if there are even alternatives available. Again, for that reason, I'd be welcoming a motion on behalf of by any council member if we wish to table this matter. I'd be welcome to such a motion. Or we could discuss this matter further, or we could vote up or down on this matter.
I would propose we move forward with a vote on this up or down. If it passes, we come back in August. We can always make changes to what's there. As someone who's been in negotiations, you know, that's why you have a small group of people that do the negotiations, and then it comes back and there's one vote up and down. You're not going to please 17. Everyone has diverse. I agree. I'm sorry that we had, you know, anywhere from a half hour to 4.5 hours notice on what the proposals were, and that's nothing to the staff. But I just propose we get something in place. If it goes to 2%, you know, then, you know, it's going to go retroactive. Then they'd have a 0.5% in the bank. We're going forward. It's not going to harm. if we do an adjustment later. But I think even they need time to take a deep breath. But I'd like to see us have something in place. That's for me.
Okay. Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Councilman Hollins?
Thank you, Mr. President. This is not the issue where I'm going to have a lot of heartburn over. I mean, I recognize the silence in the room, as I did earlier. So if it's going to be the 2.5%, it's going to be the 2.5%. I think that if we wanted to make it something, you could make it 2 and adjust that, as a matter of fact. So if you make it 2.5 and then make an adjustment, you can make it 2 and make an adjustment. You can make it any number and make an adjustment. But it is 2.5 that's in the legislation, and I would not want to prolong a debate about it. I just think it has not been vetted. I would agree to that, but I think that that's not the fault of the staff. I mean, the couple of meetings that we did have to talk about this with the staff, it was only until after the last meeting 2 weeks ago, and it was only until last week that we received recommendation from the staff, and most staff members did not have an adequate opportunity. I would agree to that. And before that, it was only the one opportunity that were council to council had placed in council's mailboxes that there were some differences in the agreements across county council workforce. So I just feel that in the sense of equality, that this is not the best move. But again, I just don't feel that it's one I'm going to wasting a sleepover, or, you know, it's like the fact that if we were to revisit this, I want to say I would be really surprised. What happens tonight, I believe, is what's going to happen.
Okay. Thank you, Councilman Holland. Councilman Street?
I would just respectfully suggest going forward, if we want to have input from staff on matters like this, it may not be a good idea to continue to meet in groups. You know, some people are intimidated by council members, and other people, you know, may not feel comfortable talking in front of other staff members. So I think, you know, some to the extent practical, we need to start looking at the practicalities of having individual meetings and let folks really say what's on their mind, what they really feel.
Councilwoman Dunham?
Yes, I think that one of the things this points to in my mind is the need to reestablish a personnel committee that can be on top of this sort of thing during the year. And I know that we say executive slash personnel, but having someone who could do those individual meetings and talking to people about this issue and coming forward with a proposal, I think having a point person within council to work with staff on this sort of thing would make a lot of sense, and I think this is what points to the need to rethink that part of the executive slash personnel committee and whether they need to be separate.
Thank you, Councilwoman Deller. I'd be happy to, with the input of other council members, look into reconstituting a quote personnel committee if that's what the council decides is appropriate. Councilman Smiley, then Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
I'm prepared to vote on this at this point. However, I do want to make clear, although we received some written proposals, information, whatever you want to call it today, I can state emphatically, and one of the reasons I have a comfort level with this, is I've had discussions with my aide and have answered numerous questions for different members of our staff. Since the county executive stood up there, gave his budget presentation, and stated the 2.5%. It was no secret then that this council would be seeking the same. As a matter of fact, let's go back to when the resolution to restore the 5% was distorted by a lot of people. You know, that generated discussion then because some thought that, you know, misunderstood that they were going to be given 7.5%. So this has been out there more than the last 2 weeks within our staff. So I just want to clarify, and that's one of the reasons I have a comfort level, is I've had discussions with my legislative aide and other members of the staff as have asked questions of me and all, since the county executive gave the budget address and the 2.5% was in there. So,
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I think that everybody understood that there was a 2.5% issue out there, but I don't think what they understood was that there were options, that it was kind of an a la carte menu that they had to choose from. It seems to me that our staff thought that it would be 2.5% right off of their salary, that they didn't have any other issues. And once we saw what some of the union negotiators came in with, they began to realize that there were other options. I don't know that they have had a chance to digest that. I don't know that necessarily individually it should really be their choice. I think I agree with Councilwoman Diller that maybe we need to have a personnel committee that talks to them individually, has all of the facts, and can present them to them and come out with what would be the best for the staff as a group. That doesn't mean that if we vote on this that I would not be voting in favor of it, but I think that we have a lot of unanswered questions out there.
Thank you, Councilwoman Kilpatrick. Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I really think that that's council's responsibility. I think that if we did not do that, it's certainly not the fault of our staff. I think that we knew this was coming, as Councilman Smiley had said. I assumed it was going to be 2.5% in stone. It was only until I did receive the notification that there was this menu offered to other groups in Newcastle County that I thought it would be fair that we offer some menu to our staff so that the 2.5% would not totally come out of their pocket, and perhaps what was given to us, we could consider a floating holiday or another holiday. And this only happened in the 11th hour. I think that we don't necessarily have to have a personnel committee separate from executive personnel to achieve that. It's just a matter of us deciding we need to do it in a timely fashion. Whether we call it personnel or personnel slash executive, you know, it's on the real moment. I mean, we could do that to facilitate it, but I don't think that's the reason why it didn't happen. We could have done it under the current structure. We just didn't do it.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions, comments, members of council? Seeing none, open the floor up to the public for comment. Any member of the public wishing to comment on the subject matter of this ordinance, please come forward at this time. Please come forward, sign in, state your name for the record when you get here, and if you have a three-minute limit, please avoid any personal characterizations or personal assaults on members of council, and please reserve 3 minutes for your time. Yellow blinking light will trigger your 30-second warning.
You were good.
Before I say anything, I'd just like everyone to be clear that I don't even have a definitive desire to go in either direction yet.
When you start off, could you please state your name for the record?
Sorry. My name is Joseph J. O'Leary, Jr. I currently reside in Newark. And the reason that this drew attention to me, one, I heard something about going retroactively, and I was concerned about ex post facto laws. Secondarily, I was concerned that whatever we do decide to tax on anyone, if we decide to tax them, and that's what this would be, that we do so equally across every board, that we not under or overtax any one particular group. That's really all I wanted to say and ask if there's been any measure to ensure that, because I haven't heard that. And I heard at least one concern in that direction, but I haven't heard anything as far as a measure that may have been taken, and I was wondering if someone could speak to that point. Thank you.
Councilman Smiley?
I would comment that we did inquire. We did have a presentation a couple of weeks ago. Part of those questions, those that are members of the collective bargaining agreement, it equals 2.5% spread throughout. The individual employees, it equals 2.5%. And I'm sure you and others will be pleased to know only those that will be paying more than 2.5% will be those members of county council that choose to do so.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Any other member of council have any questions, comments? Any other member of the public have any questions, comments? Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Ordinance 11-082.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
No.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers? Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 11 yes, 1 no, 1 absent.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance 11-082 is approved. Moving on, Ordinance 11-015, Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Yes, I move that ordinance 11015 be read by title only and placed before council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 11015 revised previously approved and recorded UDC rezoning record major land development plan Mill Creek 100 North Side Paper Mill Road and west of Limestone Road State Route 7.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. This was a rezoning that took place back in May of 2007. Because it was under the strict accordance and strict conformance issue of ordinance law, I guess, if anything changed, it needed to come back through the process. This has changed from 64 to 76 units. It has not necessarily changed in square footage. It has narrowed the townhouses so that they can fit more in, which seems to be more in compliance with today's market. This has obviously been presented to council, has gone through the planning board process. There are representatives here today that if this evening you would like a synopsis view of this plan again, they certainly would be willing to make statements. The civic umbrella group in that area is GATA, and they have said that they have approved of the project as it is, no issues at all.
Thank you, Councilwoman Kilpatrick. Any questions, comments from members of council? Seeing none, open the floor to the public. Please step forward at this time. You'll be limited to 3 minutes for your comments, and you know what to do.
Thank you, Council President Kovac and others. Thank you, Janet, for that as well. I didn't think I'd be here tonight, but I was able to make it. We'd like to say that GATA worked with two different developers, two different landowners, two different council people, two different land design engineers, and it's all been actually quite pleasant. We also had to deal with multiple county agencies and DelDOT, and we came up with a plan with the two adjoining landowners that actually, as you saw, had some shared access points that have made the traffic issues really moot and made this a better plan than what we started with. And we feel that what the developer is looking to do is beneficial to the community as a whole. It's good development, it's smart development, and when the other uses come online, we'll have a nice sort of a village concept plan on this end of the limestone paper mill intersection. So we'd ask that you again, as you have before, to continue to support this. This is the kind of development that makes sense for our county and our communities, and we thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blake. Any other members of the public wishing to comment on this ordinance? Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on ordinance 11-015.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cardiel?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers? Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes. Yeah.
Mr. Street?
Yes. Yeah.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Present, roll Carville is 12 yes, 1 absent.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance 11-015 is approved. Moving on to Ordinance 11-016. Councilman Retta.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to have Ordinance 11-016 placed before Council for consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 11016, revised zoning map, Christiana 100, Northside Telegraph Road, Northwest Side, Main Street, State Routes 4 and 7 in Stanton, Delaware, 0.683 acres from NC 6.5. Neighborhood conservation to CN commercial neighborhood and to amend the 2007 comprehensive plan update consistent therewith.
Thank you. Councilman Retta.
Thank you. What this ordinance is in the area of in question is down by the racetrack, and it's bless you.
Thank you.
It's commercial in nature part of it, and the other part is there's three homes in the back, and two of the homes are rented, and in back of those there's a school area, but that it is a considerable distance away from where the traffic would be, and they've changed the traffic pattern of the entrance and the exit, because there'll be one on Telegraph Road and there'll be one on Route 4. And this is a CVS pharmacy, and I believe representatives are here, and I think it's a good thing because with the construction jobs and the permanent jobs are going to be there, I think it'll be about 80 jobs.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilman Retta. Do you wish to call for the developer at this time, or
if anyone necessary? Has any questions to them, or
any member of council have any questions, comments on the subject matter of this ordinance, which will require a poll vote? Seeing none, open the floor to the public for comments on Ordinance 11-016. Anyone wishing to make comment, please step forward and do so at this time. Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Poll vote is required, so please state your rationale along with your vote. Your vote either in the affirmative or negative on this ordinance. Madam Clerk, please poll Council on Ordinance 11-016.
Mr. Ball.
Yes, Madam Clerk, I'll be voting in the affirmative based upon the positive recommendation of our Land Use Department.
Mr. Cartier.
I will be voting yes on the proposed ordinance based on the positive review and approval of our Land Use Department and the Planning Board.
Ms. Diller.
I'll be voting yes based on the positive recommendation of Land Use and our Planning Board.
Mr. Hollins.
I will also be supporting the recommendations from the Land Use Department and the Planning Board and vote in the affirmative.
Ms. Patrick.
I'm voting yes on the recommendation of the Land Use Department.
Mr. Kovac.
I am voting yes, consistent with the recommendations of the Land Use Department.
Mr. Powers. Mr. Retta.
I'll be voting yes in recommendation of the Land Use Department. It won't impact the area.
Mr. Sheldon.
I will also be voting in affirmative to the recommendations of the Planning Board and of yes vote from Land Use.
Mr. Smiley.
I am voting yes in recognition of the recommendation of the Land Use Department.
Mr. Street.
Voting yes based upon the recommendation of the department.
Mr. Tackett.
I'll be voting yes in joining the positive recommendations we have received.
Mr. Weiner.
Due to the positive recommendation for the Land Use Department and the Planning Board, I'll be voting in the affirmative.
Mr. President, the roll call goes 12 yes, 1 absent.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance 11-016 is approved. Moving on to Ordinance 11-076, I move that Ordinance 11-076 be read in by title only and placed before Council for consideration and adoption.
Second.
Ordinance 11-076, amendment pay plan and rates of pay for non-union classified service employees and adopt the class classification for pension and benefits administrator.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I would like to have our esteemed CAO and acting county attorney, Greg Wilson, come briefly explain, as he did in our committee meeting today, the need and rationale behind this ordinance. As he is making his way up. Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Please state your name for the record.
Greg Wilson, County Attorney and Acting Chief Administrative Officer. I don't think council wants to have me go through everything I went through this afternoon in committee. We had a long discussion in committee with input from a number of people, but summarizing briefly, this ordinance would create a new position, pension and benefits administrator, and the purpose of that is because the healthcare system has changed so much. The county is moving from a grandfathered system to a non-grandfathered system, which brings us within the regulation of considerable number of regulations, and this position will be more complicated. It's also, as we had a lengthy discussion today about the pension revisions that are at least being proposed at this point in time and are being proposed throughout the country, that area will also become more complicated. So we've expanded the duties. It also would be a classified system a position as it is today. However, it would be a non-union position. And the reason is because the county's health care provisions are in the union contracts. They've been embedded in there for many years. They haven't changed for many years. And one of the things that we need to do is begin to get a handle on some of our personnel costs, because our personnel costs are the largest driver of the county budget, because we provide services through personnel primarily. We don't make objects. We provide services. And the biggest cost driver in personnel costs today is pension benefits and health care. Health care for everybody is a big driver. So being able to look at that, try to make some sensible changes that allow the employees and the management to work together and try to come up with provisions that are mutually beneficial while at the same time conserving on health care costs and allowing those funds to be used for other purposes at the county.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Any member of council have questions, comments for Mr. Wilson regarding the substance of this ordinance? Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. President. As stated in committee this afternoon, I certainly understand need to go to work on benefits and pension plans and different compensation programs. I think that we all clearly understand that. My problem with this particular pension and benefits administrator is that this new position, non-union position, if you actually read the job title and the additional things that will be placed upon it, it's actually a modification of the position of compensation pension systems coordinator, a position that's been part of one of our locals, Local 3109, one of our collective bargaining units, since its inception in 1979. And as I stated this afternoon, we have numerous employees that are members of various collective bargaining units of the county, are represented by them, collective bargaining units in those unions, and they are extremely talented, very credible, very responsible, and are held to the same standard as any other county employee. I'm not in support of taking this position and putting it out of a union position that's been there since 1979. That's my only contention.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Retta.
Thank you. I never said anything at the committee meeting today, but my thoughts are my background has always been in the collective bargaining area and as in the union position. And it's been with in our collective bargaining that the unions sat down with management and hashed out their differences and ended up with some type of agreement. With this position and other positions like it, it either should be all one, as in all non-union, or take from the rank and file. And I stated that earlier tonight to one of the administrative assistants. So that's just my feelings on it.
Thank you, Councilman Retta. Councilman Cardiac.
You know, over the last couple of years, I've had certain constituents not totally friendly to the party that I'm part of, who have contacted me with quite snide comments talking about how county government will eventually fail over the issue of personnel costs, basically reflecting very cynically that our inability to make the changes that we have to make given the kind of fiscal realities and the realities of the economy that we face. But I want to say that this government and the people in this government will make the necessary changes. We will pull together. I have the utmost confidence in that. But I do think that the administration has made, for me, very compelling arguments about this position and the need for not having conflicts of interest going forward into the future as we begin to look at the key drivers of personnel costs. All that being said, I know that we have great employees in county government. They have risen to the occasion where we need to make sacrifices. I know that we can look forward to that continued cooperation in the future. And for those of those people in the public that wish us ill, who I hear from occasionally, we're going to surprise you. We will meet our responsibilities as a government, and we will continue to offer employees great benefits that give a great quality of life. So, but I am going to support this ordinance tonight as a key factor in making those necessary changes in the future.
Thank you, Councilman Cardet. Any other members of council wishing to comment? Councilman Hollins?
Thank you, Mr. President. I won't repeat all of what I said this afternoon on this item regarding equal opportunity. But in addition to that, this position was before the PERB before. And in my opinion, I think that's an appropriate place for it to be, that it be given the scrutiny that it deserves and vetted with people who deal with this. I think it's circumventing that whole process if council interjects itself and makes the determination based upon history or affiliation in terms of who should not be in a union.
Thank you, Councilman Hollins. Any other member of council wishing to comment on the subject of this ordinance or have any questions for County Attorney Mr. Wilson? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Wilson, for your time. Any member of the public wishing to comment on the subject matter of this ordinance? Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Ordinance 11-076.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
No.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers? Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
No.
Mr. Smiley?
No.
Mr. Street?
Yes.
Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 8 yes, 4 no, 1 absent.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Ordinance 11-076 is approved. Moving on to Ordinance 11-020, Councilman Beretta.
Thank you. I'd like to have substitute one ordinance to Ordinance 11-020, place for council's consideration and adoption.
Second.
Substitute number one to Ordinance 11020 to revise Chapter 8. Non-conforming situations of Chapter 40 of the Newcastle County Code, also known as Unified Development Code, or UDC, regarding redevelopment.
The ordinance has to be first lifted from the table.
Sorry, my error.
No problem. If we bring it in, then I'd let you know that request that you lift the ordinance 11-020 from the table.
Motion to remove.
Second.
Motion has been made to lift Ordinance 11-020 from the table and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Ordinance 11-020 is lifted from the table.
Thank you. I'd like to have substitute one to Ordinance 11-021, placed before council for consideration and adoption.
Second.
Substitute number one to Ordinance 11020 to revise Chapter 8, non-conforming situations of Chapter 40 of the Newcastle County Code, also known as Unified Development Code, or UDC, regarding redevelopment.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Councilman Retta.
Thank you. In this ordinance, we had the substitute. We had some couple of changes that were made. Couple of questions that came up were removal of credit for approval for unbuilt, basically paper redevelopment. That was considered restricting redevelopment on non-residential and redevelopment and agricultural land, which cannot be on agricultural land. And we had the owner and developer must choose one of two processes for the redevelopment and secure the necessary variances. They cannot do both. And we also had the level of service, which is the TIS, the traffic impact study. They're already in the ordinance, and we just enhanced them. And my co-chair, Councilman Tackett, if he has to add anything to it, I yield to him.
Councilman Tackett?
Thank you, Mr. President. I Echo the sentiments of Co-Chair Retta on this ordinance substitute that we're hearing tonight. This ordinance really has come a long way since the first time it was introduced and morphed into where we see it as consideration tonight for this body. I can tell you that this ordinance has been in the works for roughly about a year. It may not go as far as some would like it to go, but it absolutely adds the top concerns that we have heard out there. It incorporates comments that we heard from PLUS, the planning board, the community, fellow members of council, and I think we have a very good document here tonight before us.
Thank you, Councilman Tackett. Councilman Wright, I appreciate both your efforts to introduce an ordinance for a provision that needed amendment, and to then, in light of significant comments that were made, choose to address many of the significant comments. Obviously, I had mentioned my desire to have it sent before the planning board again, but that desire does not take away from my appreciation of your efforts to take into account the serious issues that were brought up and to address many of those issues. And while everybody knows the ordinance substitute might not be perfect, I believe it significantly fixed many of the major defects in the existing redevelopment ordinance, and I applaud you for your efforts. Councilman Tackett.
Mr. President, I just want to loudly and very clearly state that I heard some comments that were fed back to us that the planning board was going to consider looking at the matrix of ordinances that were set before it at different times and perhaps look at coming up with a an overall suggestion. Obviously, we know that the planning board is a citizens advisory council. I absolutely do not want to discourage them at this point from going ahead and making that, if that is the will of the planning board. I've certainly expressed, the willingness that if they wanted to do that and send it back over to this body, if they see other provisions that they wanted to recommend to us, to absolutely do it and send it over here, that absolutely would consider introducing it as a recommendation on their behalf. I've heard some concerns from fellow members of council that they just, obviously would like to see these safeguards in place, that these really protect the community and the whole process. So there is a willingness to hopefully to get this moved. But also, again, I just want to clearly and loudly state, if the planning board still has the will to examine the redevelopment process, I absolutely encourage them to don that task and to send us over their recommendations.
Councilman Tackett, I appreciate your comments and appreciate your openness to be willing to be open to further suggestions of the planning board. I appreciate that. Any Councilman Smiley?
Yes, I'd like to thank Councilman Retta, Councilman Tackett, and the planning board for all the work and the time they've put in, as well as the criticism, frustration that has been heaped upon them as they've worked on this diligently to try to come up with a workable solution. As we've said before, ordinances, laws, they're all living, breathing documents, ever-evolving. And I'm sure we will see changes in this as we move forward in the code. I've got some concerns with it. I wasn't sure exactly where I was going to go, but I will say publicly that the public support at the land use meeting of Ms. Christine Whitehead for this document has given me somewhat of a comfort level in supporting it this evening as well. So, thank you, Councilman.
Thank you, Councilman Smiley. Councilman Weiner, then Councilman Kilpatrick.
I'll yield to Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
I just want to say that I've gotten a couple of phone calls, and people seem to be relating plans that are already going through the process with this redevelopment document. And I just want it on the record that if this passes tonight, there's no provision that is retroactive to plans that are already in the process. Some people seem to think Barley Mill Plaza being one of the major ones, that this is going to allow them to require a TIS. That's a completely separate issue. This is from this day forward, not backwards.
Councilwoman, were you seeking a clarification or a statement from the administration or the sponsors of the substitute to that effect?
If they wish to make a statement, absolutely.
It's just a matter of fact that we can't make this legislation retroactive
right.
We have any plan that's already in.
Councilwoman, I was trying to address the concerns of the good councilwoman if she wanted a statement from the sponsor to that effect.
If it's really needed, I'm not trying to prolong the evening. I think that's pretty much.
I don't need it as a clarification. I had it clarified before I made the statement to constituents, but, you know, it's if somebody feels that we need to have a statement from the Department of Land Use, fine, but I just wanted to make it clear and on the record that this is from the day it's passed forward. It is not retroactive and has nothing to do with projects that are within the system right now.
That's fine. Actually, why don't we call up council just to resolve that, not because this is an issue that's it's not where you're applying a new law to a situation, but I think the question, quite frankly, was, could existing projects in the pipeline apply for this program? Is that the distinction of your question?
My question was basically just a statement.
Yeah. We already know.
But Mr. Wilson will certainly come.
Greg Wilson, County Attorney. I'm becoming a frequent flyer up here tonight.
Gotta find out better we believe.
And this is an often misunderstood thing by people in the community. The land use process is circumcised. No, it's not.
There
we go. I've been talking too long tonight. Is controlled by, first of all, primarily the Constitution of the United States. When people have property rights, whether it's your own home or it's a piece of property owned by a developer, you have certain rights in that. You can't take those rights away from somebody. Just from a general constitutional principle, as well as we had the gentleman come up and talk about ex post facto laws, but you're not allowed to, from a constitutional point of view, deprive people of their property rights. Making a law that goes backwards and says, developer, you can't build if you're already partway through the process or most of the way through the process. Just as if, you know, you have a resident and we say, okay, we're going to solve the traffic problems because we're going to make a rule that nobody can have more than one car in your development. You go, what? And it's the same thing. It's on a larger scale, but you're not allowed to go backwards and change the law for people with regard to the property that they already own and have already begun to go through the process.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Any other questions while Mr. Wilson is up there? Councilman Cartier?
I don't have any questions. I just want to make a comment.
Okay. I think Councilman Weiner was next.
I'll yield to Councilman Cartier.
Councilman Cartier.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I sponsored the fourth version of the redevelopment ordinance. And I want to tell you, we've been kind of remiss because in all the land development controversy the council's constantly immersed in, this has been a real bright story where we've had probably over 50 sites now in New Castle County redeveloped under provisions of all these various ordinances that have come forward. And we've had real gains for a local community. Wherever these properties have been redeveloped. In the course of, as things go on, I've seen that in the ordinance I sponsored, there was an issue with what they technically call recorded unbuilt GFA or paper redevelopment. And I'm glad to report that, you know, thanking Councilman Tackett and Councilman Retta, that they're dealing with that provision, that problem, perceived by the public, and I think a lot of members of council in this current version of the redevelopment ordinance tonight. And I voiced that concern to Councilman Tackett. He was quick to take it up and deal with it as we amend the ordinance and bring forward different changes. And personally, you know, I live adjacent to a property that was redeveloped under our redevelopment ordinance in the Holyoke area. We had a site, the Holyoke Towing Center, basically an old, denuded, ugly site with all kinds of problems. It has now been redeveloped as a beautiful little strip center with a local drugstore, Walgreens. It now has stormwater management, a full landscape plan. It's a very attractive amenity, new project that's built a lot of great value in the Holyoke community. And these are the kind of stories that are going on all over New Castle County with these sites, and I think we need to do a better job documenting them, bringing them forward. I'd like to see slides on our big jumbotron here of these various sites so the public can actually see, because the picture says 1,000 words about the success of our redevelopment program. And I'd just like to extend my thanks to Councilman Tackett, Councilman Redder for this version tonight, and I will be supporting it very enthusiastically.
Thank you. Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. And Mr. President, fellow council members, thank you for your indulgence while I exercise my legislative prerogative for the opportunity to speak regarding this important policy issue. As other members of council and many interested citizens know, I'm the sponsor of another ordinance proposal to seek reform to redevelopment, 11-026 sub 2. And I've invested hundreds of hours on the subjects. However, I particularly appreciate the hard work of council members Retta and Tackett, as well as Councilor Carol Doolin, as well as the many citizen activists who've kept council focused on the need for redevelopment reform. And because Retta Tackett substitute 1 to 11-020 is a positive step in the right direction with regard to paper reducing paper redevelopment, I will be pleased to vote in support of this measure that we're voting on tonight. I appreciate Councilman Tackett's willingness to consider additional amendments, and I know he speaks for Councilman Retta as well. However, consistent with council rules, I've pre-filed today an oral amendment to require traffic impact studies for all redevelopment projects would include rezonings. I feel this amendment's essential so that the UDC reflects Delaware Code Section 9 requirements, as I'll explain more fully during my remarks. While I'll be voting yes tonight, I am a realist about tonight's measure having the support to pass, despite the lack of the positive planning board's recommendation and what I will identify as still outstanding problems identified by the State Planning Office through PLUS. I think that this is a positive and it deserves our support, but I still feel there needs to be done to fix this redevelopment. So I'm going to now, Jim, just outline what I feel are some positives in the Retta Tackett ordinance and what some additional movements that we can take in the future, and hopefully our planning board and other key citizen leaders will move us in that direction. I'm just going to go over some key provisions of the original version of this ordinance, what changes were made and the concerns that remain, and that we as a council must continue to address. My aide is distributing to you a comparison chart which compares Retta Tackett and Weiner legislation, its current pending substitutes and the current law. My aide did distribute this to you last week, but I'm giving it to today again for your reference. Jim? The areas are enumerated here, which I intend to focus on, paper redevelopment, sunsetting, site improvements, traffic studies, and required improvements, community character, public input in the plan acceptance and approval process, credit for new floor area, and protection of the agricultural lands. And they're outlined in that grid that I just gave you. Jim? The current law is that developers get 100% credit for unbuilt floor area depicted on any recorded plan. Tonight's ordinance, in its original form, extended this even to plans that had sunsetted, so the practice would have been expanded. But fortunately, Substitute 1 appears to do a total about-face on this by removing the words, any, quote, recorded plan, end of quote. But even with that amendment, the law will be that a development could still be built out of the remaining GFA of any recorded grandfathered plan and seek redevelopment status for a future addition, not pay impact fees, which is a good incentive, have it reviewed as a minor plan, which can be problematic, and add 50,000 additional square gross floor area. This is a good positive for true redevelopment. The real problem with concurrency comes in when these plans propose a change in use, maybe even a rezoning. and they don't have to do a site carrying capacity analysis or even a traffic impact study, even though that new use may have totally different peak hour trips or other impacts on the community. If it's a minor plan review, we will know very little about these potential impacts. Additionally, I anticipate the department will continue to ignore the part of the current law that says there has to be a 50% demolition to qualify as a project as redevelopment. That's my opinion. Also, if the market already is there to incentivize a project, I don't think County Council should be giving up on impact fees or ignoring concurrency. That was the hallmark of the Unified Development Code. This law helps to end blight and prevent vacancy. Redevelopment is a law that I've voted for 4 times, but there are adjustments which are needed to be made, and some of them are being made tonight. But it's not just about increasing a developer's profits. It's about sound land use planning. I think things still need to be addressed so we don't end up with projects with lots of impacts on the current infrastructure that it can't handle, and the developer is not being asked to pay his fair share. Jim? Under the UDC, most recorded plans sunset or are of no further effect if they're not built for 5 years. However, the plan will be grandfathered even if just a small part of the improvements depicted on the plan are made. In its original form, this ordinance let even expired plans qualify for redevelopment, which could have led to old, non-conforming, expired plans coming back to life. However, even though Sub 1 dials this back and references only formerly built structures, this language still gives new life to structures that lost their non-conforming status because they were demolished and not rebuilt in time. Next slide. Substitute
Mr.
1.
Mr. President, I feel uncomfortable interrupting here, but I just don't know how long this presentation is going to go on this ordinance. It's my understanding it's slide number 5 out of 13.
Yes.
And to me, I just think you can't deny a council person, but I just feel that there should be some reasonable response to what's on the table here. And it seems to me that Councilman Weiner is reviewing what he's reviewed with all of us for the last couple of months at least. And I think it's almost at a point it's abusive. We're going to sit here for another 35 minutes to go through this entire presentation. I mean, it's just not fair to the rest of us.
Councilman Weiner, do we have a time frame of approximate?
Yes, I'll need 10 minutes to make a presentation, which I've never had the pleasure of making to council, although I presented in writing. But in light of Sub 1, I've been able to review and fine-tune my comments.
Okay, and can we keep those comments directed specifically? And I appreciate your thorough analysis of the prior ordinance, the substitute ordinance, but I think we're going to need to keep the comments directed specifically towards the substitute. So if we could.
Yes, and that's exactly what I intend to do over the next 10 minutes. Thank you.
It's not what's happening. We're seeing 11020.
Yes, in order to talk about improvements that could be made, as is my legislative prerogative, I am sometimes referencing some of the changes in 11-2.
Okay, Councilman, we appreciate you the privilege, and please keep your comments to the Sub 1, and if you could proceed quickly, that would be appreciated.
A Sub 1 is not substantially different than the current law in that redeveloped sites have to show certain improvements in design that, in theory, make them more compliant with current law. However, having better buffers or landscape islands in a parking lot
when it gets here,
where the
I'd
old
like to call
code,
for the vote.
It's out of order. It's a fairly common misconception that after a debate, you can call for the question. I now have the floor.
This is Robert's Rules of Order. This is a debate. This is a Weiner show.
Sir, at the same prerogative given to Andrew Council.
Thank you, Councilman Weiner. Okay, we've asked that the councilman keep his comments specifically focused only on the Sub 1. Please. We'll allow the councilman to proceed only on that manner. He's focusing his comments on Sub 1. I know that there's frustration out in the room, and I understand that. But let's try to maintain the civility to the extent that we can. And
thank you.
Hopefully, we'll let him proceed as quickly as possible.
Yes, as I was stating before I was interrupted, having better buffers or landscaping islands in a parking lot where old code would not have required them is not the big issue. The big issue is whether surrounding intersections can handle increases in peak hours or whether if a UDC carrying capacity analysis were performed, the site would pass, and proportional compliance does not address that. One of the hardest parts about discussing traffic concurrency is that the common terminology is poorly understood. So this slide is a primer. An important point is that a traffic operational analysis does not study or require improvements to surrounding intersections. It doesn't count traffic like a traffic impact study does. Under current law and the current version of the ordinance, redevelopment projects are failing to account for dramatic increases in peak hour trips. The current infrastructure was not necessarily designed to support these increases. Understand that under the memorandum of understanding between DelDOT and Newcastle County, DelDOT cannot ask for TIS for redevelopment projects, so that all those references in this measure to DelDOT doing so are not accurate. Also, I have no confidence that the department will request one if the project happens to be in support. I'm disturbed that the measure will allow intersections to go to E or F, and even more disturbed that we really won't know how the intersections are operating at all without a TIS. It's not a total fix. So I'm concerned that Amendment Sub 1 doesn't cover this area. State law Title 9 requires it. If we don't start acting responsibly about this, HB 101, which came out of committee in Dover last session, could go to the floor this session and require a TIS for practically every project taking local control away from us. I want to see this addressed because the taxpayers should not be subsidizing projects that are not consistent with surrounding community. There is no reason that a developer cannot seek planning board recommendation on whether a major plan really qualifies as a redevelopment. A major plan has to go to the planning board anyway. This measure does not add any check or balance or public input into the process, and I think this is still a deficiency. In 1980, a developer builds a 100,000 square foot office under a plan that allows for a total bailout of 150,000. This is a real life example. To enlarge it more than 51,000 square feet because the grandfathered plan allows another 50,000, it normally has to comply with site capacity requirements and proportionally comply with the UDC. Under the current law and the one proposed tonight, as a redevelopment, the owner could build another 100,000 by right as a minor plan, doubling what is in the field with no partial demolition, no traffic impact study, and no site capacity calculation. How are the nearby intersections functioning now? We won't know without a TIS, so the requirement that they not drop down E or F might not ever be known. Will doubling the size fit with the community character? We won't know. Will there be a tower over nearby homes? The law doesn't express it. Will the public have any hearings about this? Would a developer have done this anyway without redevelopment incentives? Redevelopment is supposed to help the community, and I just am concerned that the current law still doesn't go far enough. Next slide. The current law and this measure do not call out protections for green vacant lands and agricultural lands. Remember how I explained before how an old plan can get grandfathered by just building a little bit? I have no doubt that full buildouts plus additions to such plans will still be accepted as redevelopments under this law. The problem is, if the addition is major, even if it has to be reviewed as a major plan, it could potentially gobble up green space and agricultural lands without paying impact fees, and I don't think a redevelopment should do that. There have been a couple lawsuits that have been filed concerning the right to build on agricultural land. This part needs additional work. In conclusion, I feel that many of my fellow council members, like myself, have responded to the constituents concerning what they feel is irregularities and abuses in connection with the redevelopment plan. The red attack on ordinance has made great positive strides, despite the fact that the vote at the planning board was to not recommend it in its original form. The revised version has not been reviewed by the planning board, and a vote by council tonight will go against the July 19th planning board's conclusion that it's premature for county council to make a decision on any of the proposed redevelopment text amendments because they're all works in progress. The planning board would prefer to see a composite of the proposed ordinance prepared and see the ambiguities in the code resolved. This critical ordinance will affect how our entire county works. It's for this reason that I am introducing what I call a substitute number one to ordinance 11-020 as amended by floor amendment number I'm introducing substitute number one to ordinance-020, and what it calls for is that traffic impact studies for all redevelopment plans with rezonings, the applicant shall submit traffic information and conduct traffic analysis pursuant to UDC Article 11. At this time, I move for introduction to substitute number one, which I've distributed to all the members of council and pre-filed.
I'm sorry, you said you're introducing, you're making
I'm
a motion.
I'm making a motion to introduce
amendment
number one to ordinance 11-020 to be presented to this council. And it, what it does is, it the Office of State Planning Coordination, in a letter to David Culver dated April 14th, made recommendations to improve the review and implementation of redevelopment plans. And this floor amendment seeks to incorporate the suggestions by the Office of State Planning Coordination relating to performance of traffic impact studies for redevelopment plans, including rezonings. And by doing it, it would add, therefore, Section 1, Subsection 8, traffic impact study. The additional language would be traffic impact study required for all redevelopment plans with rezonings. The applicant shall submit traffic information and conduct traffic analysis pursuant to UDC Article 11.
Thank you. Councilor Councilor Doolin, could you clarify the amendment sought, please, for the record?
I was just Councilmember Weiner. Are you attempting to add a subsection 8 called traffic impact study?
Yes, I stand corrected.
And so that says for all redevelopment plans with rezonings, the applicant shall submit traffic information and conduct traffic analysis pursuant to UDC Article 11.
Yes, it would be under Section 1, which relates to Article 8, Nonconforming Situations, Chapter 40, General Regulations, Alterations, Enlargements, Extensions, Design Elements, Improvements. That section would be amended by adding the material that's underscored and deleted, deleting the material that's stricken. There's no deleting material that's stricken, so it's just an addition. Thank you for the opportunity to clarify that.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? Seeing no second, the motion is unsuccessful in its efforts. Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you.
Councilman Retta had his hand up. Councilman Smiley, I'm sorry. Councilman Smiley first, then Councilman Retta, then Councilman Tackett.
Yeah, I just want to clarify. I respect any council member's right to voice their opinion. However, I find it extremely frustrating when someone begins by voicing their support for something and then takes 10, 15 minutes of council and the public's time taking that apart. It just, I find it so much frustrating and confusing and, quite honestly, self-serving.
Councilman Retta?
Call for a vote.
Well, we can call to end, we can move to end debate on the floor, then I'll open the floor to the public.
So
move to end debate on the floor.
So moved.
Been seconded.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, seeing that a successful motion has been made to end debate on the floor, I will open the floor to the public for comments on substitute number one to ordinance 11-020. Anyone wishing to speak on the subject of the substitute, please come forward, state your name for the record. You'll be given 3 minutes time to talk. The yellow light will light up at your 30-second warning. And the usual admonitions, please avoid any derogatory or insulting or mischaracterization terms about members of council or the process.
Thank you, Council President and then Council. my name is Bill Franey. I'm president of the Middletown Limestone Civic Alliance. We do see a lot of developments in our area as well. And we would like to show our appreciation for the efforts that the councilmen have put into this, revisions to the ordinance. We think that the original ordinance was a bit unfair and did not take into consideration a lot of the situations that we run into. So we are in support of sub 1 to the ordinance, and we would like to encourage continued dialogue with the planning board on the rest of the options and discussions that have happened. We think there's still room to try to clarify how developments should be analyzed. We are happy to see that the TIS requirements for rezoning, which was per state law anyway, that those type of items within the UDC are being corrected, clarified, and they're in alignment. And so we agree that a lot of these changes and the work that was done is appreciated. I do want to clarify one thing that that the county attorney did say about constitutional rights. It's the right for the property developer or the property owner to do things within the bounds of their property. But when they do things that have an impact outside of their property boundaries, that is not the constitutional right. So we have to be careful that we're fair to property owners, property developers, to do the by right constitution gift abilities, but we cannot really compromise what's outside the boundaries of the property. Thank you very much.
Mr. President,
can I make a comment? Yeah,
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. Mr. Green, I just want to thank you for your comments and just provide some clarification of what the Supreme Court did in basically declaring zoning to be a lawful exercise of government was to say that the health, welfare, and safety clause of the United States Constitution has to be balanced with the life, liberty, and properties clause. And health, and since that moment, there have been constant rebalances and checks between those two sometimes competing provisions of the U.S. Constitution. Mm-hmm. So thank you for bringing that up.
Please state your name for the record.
Victor Singer, citizen of Newcastle County, chairman of the planning board. I came to ask for exactly what Mr. Tackett said earlier and several other councilmen said after that. He took the wind out of my sails. I'm happy for that. So I won't say any more.
Thank you, Mr. Singer. Thank you for your service on the planning board.
Mr. Council President, my name is Paul Moore. I'm with the Committee of 100. You've heard from me at least three or four times on this issue over the last few months, and I congratulate you on where you arrived tonight. I think you're making a wise move. The redevelopment ordinance that was that's been in place for a number of years now and has been amended several times is an undeniable success. It's produced almost 100 high quality projects and jobs for Newcastle County. And I think in the last three or four years, it's been the source of all development. It's the only thing that's been happening in this county since the recession struck. So we applaud you for being moderate in your attempts to amend the ordinance. And we understand that you're trying to thread a needle with some public unhappiness with how the ordinance has been applied over the last few years, but we think you've succeeded. So we support the substitute ordinance, and we appreciate your hard work, and we understand that the discussion on redevelopment will continue into the future. Thank you.
Councilman Cartier.
Yes, I would just like to comment on the comments were just made. I am not aware of any negative comments or negative publicity, negative review from the public of any of the sites that have been redeveloped in Newcastle County. In fact, it's an unvarnished record of success. And if there are projects out there that have come forward under redevelopment and have in fact been realized and built and are somehow not considered to be successes, I'm really unaware of them.
Thank you, Councilman Cartier. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Peggy Schultz. I'm speaking this evening on behalf of the League of Women Voters of Newcastle County.
According to the Delaware Population Consortium, by 2040, Newcastle County will have an additional 68,711 people. Where to put those people is a serious problem. Will they buy homes in our growth zones where at least much of the infrastructure already exists, or will they be enticed into buying homes in green fields, land which has never been built upon before? We would hope that our agricultural land and other open space, these green fields, would be kept open and that the almost 69,000 new residents will choose homes in areas within our growth zones. As we make it more and more difficult to have building projects accepted as redevelopment, the pressure will be on for developers to go out where the land is cheap and open into green fields. Our county is like a balloon. Constrict a balloon in one place and it will have to open in another area. Of course, our traffic issues are going to have to be addressed. Forward-looking communities around the U.S. have found that increasing investments in public transit accomplishes several things. Carbon dioxide emissions decrease, infrastructure is less costly when people live in more compact communities that make walking, biking, and the public transit reasonable options, and farmland is spared. Sprawling development, on the other hand, vastly increases public spending for infrastructure, and research shows that adding more lanes simply results in people moving further from their jobs. Population growth is inevitable and is not in itself a bad thing. Effective urban planning, as exemplified in the Wilmington waterfront area, provides an alternative to automobile dependency and exhausting commutes. It will likely be the option of choice to the present and coming generations of young professionals across ethnic boundaries. We urge County Council to vote for the less restrictive of the two proposed redevelopment ordinances, or substitute ordinance, proposed by Councilmen Rada and Tackett.
Thank you, Ms. Schultz. Any other member? Councilman Tackett.
I don't know if there was any members. But I was just going to make a couple statements here real fast. I just like to note, you know, the attempt to offer the floor amendment was almost as confusing as the presentation we heard. There were several mistruths up there that we have been plagued with through this whole process. To talk about no public input, there's nothing changed here on minor plans. Anything under 50,000 square foot has been a minor in the UDC, and it will continue to be a minor. Any major plan will get the public hearings that have continued to be in there. So to state now that a redevelopment with the 50,000 doesn't give it is a little bit untruthful and misleading, because that's what's in the code today, and all that does is mirror it. To talk about towers that are 300 foot and all and not in redevelopment, that's in the table. It's not been part of redevelopment. It's never been part of redevelopment. The code talks about TIS and how it adds back in our substitute one, talks about it. It brings all that back into the process that was previously removed out of it. To talk about a change of use and a rezoning and classify that back into redevelopment, rezonings are a change of use.
Okay. Mr. Council President, we had a few hands up first, but in consultation with our council to council, I believe we had a successful motion for a moving for the vote. We allowed public comment, and we need to put an end to, by our own vote, need to put an end to council, all council comment, unless there's a motion for reconsideration of the ending motion to end debate. I hear a motion for reconsideration to end debate. If not, debate has been ended. We allowed public comment, and now we call for the vote. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on substitute number one to ordinance 11-020.
Mr. Bell.
Yes.
Mr. Cartier.
Yes.
Ms. Diller.
Yes.
Mr. Hollins.
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick.
Yes.
Mr. Kovac.
Yes.
Mr. Powers. Mr. Retta.
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon.
Yes.
Mr. Smiley.
Yes.
Mr. Streak.
Vetoed.
Mr. Tackett.
Yes.
Mr. Weiner.
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 11 yes, 2 absent.
Substitute number 1 to ordinance 11-020 is approved. Moving on to item J, time-sensitive congratulatory resolutions. We have three item Js. I move
I move that Resolution 11-0109 be placed before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Second.
Resolution 11-109, congratulating Kristen J. Mills for achieving the rank of Eagle Scout.
As read, but not to take away from Eagle Scouts, we recognize the significant accomplishments of Eagle Scouts, and each one of these resolutions is sponsored by myself and the local council person of the Eagle Scout. So, Resolution 11-0109 is before us. Any questions, comments, the sponsor? Seeing none, any questions, comments from the public? Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call the roll on Resolution 11-109.
Mr. Bell.
Yes.
Mr. Cartier.
Yes.
Ms. Diller.
Yes.
Mr. Hollins.
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick.
Yes.
Mr. Kovac.
Yes.
Mr. Powers. Mr. Retta.
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon.
Yes.
Mr. Smiley.
Yes.
Mr. Street. Mr. Tackett.
Yes.
Mr. Weiner.
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 11 yes, 2 absent.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-109 has been approved, and the next Eagle Scout from Troop 19 receives the 100 Eagle Scout Award. Resolution 11-110. Move that this resolution be placed before Council for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 11-110, congratulating Andrew J. Mason for achieving the rank of Eagle Scout.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. As read, congratulating Andrew J. Mason for this significant accomplishment. Any questions, comments, members of Council? Seeing none, any questions, comments, members of the public? Seeing none, close the floor to the public. Madam Clerk, please call roll Resolution 11-110.
Mr. Bell.
Yes.
Mr. Cartier.
Yes.
Ms. Diller.
Yes.
Mr. Hollins.
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick.
Yes.
Mr. Kovac.
Yes.
Mr. Powers. Mr. Retta.
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon.
Yes.
Mr. Smiley.
Yes.
Mr. Street. Mr. Tackett.
Yes.
Mr. Weiner.
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 11 yes, 2 absent.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-110 is approved. Resolution 11-111, move for its introduction and consideration before Council. I ask Clerk to read in by title only for its consideration and adoption.
Second.
Resolution 11-111, congratulating Nikhil Rama Rao for achieving the rank of Eagle Scout.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Resolution 11-111, we again congratulate Mr. Rao on a significant accomplishment of Eagle Scout. Any questions, comments, members of Council? Seeing none. Any questions, comments, members of the public? Seeing none. Madam Clerk, please call the roll. Resolution 11-111.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cartier?
Yes.
Ms. Diller?
Yes.
Mr. Hollins?
Yes.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Yes.
Mr. Kovac?
Yes.
Mr. Powers? Mr. Retta?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Smiley?
Yes.
Mr. Street? Mr. Tackett?
Yes.
Mr. Weiner?
Yes.
Mr. President, the roll call reveals 11 yes, 2 absent.
Resolution 11-111 is approved. That's the end of Item J, time-sensitive congratulatory resolutions. Item K, consideration of emergency ordinances. I am not aware of any. Any member of Council aware of any emergency ordinances? Seeing none. Moving on to Item L, public comment and other. Any member of the public wishing to address Council on any subject not previously addressed before Council? Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm not so certain where Council fits in on this public comment, but I would like to make one comment.
You are indeed also a member of the public Council.
Thank you very much. The one thing I would just like to comment on is the fact that this Council has the responsibility, the authority to enact legislation. And I think sometimes we go so far, and what I've been hearing tonight, and I've heard it other times, we do appreciate public input. We take the recommendation from the Land Use Department and from the Planning Board, but in no way does that excuse us or exempt us from carrying out our responsibilities. And I think that we're getting to a point where we may be given the impression that there's a super legislative body out there, but it all comes back to us. And as I read over the court's ruling from what happened in Kent County, it's very clear that sometimes that could be a misconception of what the role of these other bodies are. Even though we take them into consideration, we take the public's comments into consideration, but we can't go that far to give the impression that we're somehow creating another legislative body that is a super legislator. And I think sometimes I cringe because I think we're going that far. It's like when I hear that we're going to get legislation from the Planning Board, it seems to me that that's an indication that we may be going too far. That's the only comment I wanted to make.
Thank you, Councilman Hollins. Councilman Retta.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just like to make a statement, and the statement is that I'd like to thank land use along with my co-chair on this ordinance that was just passed, substitute 020, and along with the administration and then going over it with us. So we can actually go forward on this now.
Thank you, Councilman Reddick. Councilman Tackett.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. And to, I'm not going to be redundant. I'll echo the sentiments of my fellow council members. I also want to add one very hardworking individual in there on this legislation. That it was council to council. She had a lot of work to do. It had to be done fast, and there was a lot of errors that had to be corrected early on in this, and she did a fabulous job in that. I thank the co-chair, Retta, on this. Me and him were in constant communication. But most importantly, I want to thank the speakers tonight. The speakers tonight that came up to speak on this legislation, they were all rational, they were reasonable, and they added a lot of value into this process. And it was a pleasure tonight to have them here.
Thank you, Councilman Tackett. Any other member of the public wishing to make comment? Seeing none, close the floor to the public.
Motion to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned.
All right.